introducing the message. This morning may be the most difficult message in this series for a lot of reasons. Because we're talking this morning about a time to die. Difficult because it's trying to correlate that tension that exists between good news and a time to die. It really doesn't sound like they belong together in a sermon title. That definitely doesn't sound like it goes together in life. But we have to address that tension, but we also have to recognize the difficulty because it forces us to consider the horrific death that Jesus endured because of us. But it's also difficult because it not only reminds us of his death, it reminds us of our part in that and that responsibility that we have. But in spite of all of those religious difficulties, there's that difficulty of just life versus death. Because we have to consider our own death. We have to consider the death of loved ones that, well, we didn't want to see happen. While we recognize that life on earth is temporary, that we all live in this body that ages, and as those years add up, we become more and more aware of how frail this human body really is. There's that desire, that uncomfortableness of realizing there's a day when this ends. And we're all here. We all have loved ones that have died. Some that have died at ripe old ages and their body had given up, and others that have died far too young and we don't understand. And so when we come to a message about death, it becomes difficult not only to hear, but it becomes difficult to share. And yet I'm reminded of something that Jesus said in John chapter 12. Because I think it's important to recognize this time to die was not simply a time for Jesus to die, but it's a time that he calls for us to die. John 12, beginning at verse 24, it says, "I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. The man who loves his life will lose it. The one who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. Now my heart is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? Well, no, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." We're going to be spending our time in the bulk of Luke chapter 23 as we continue this Good News of a Risen Lord series. And so we've been talking about the good news of Jesus coming to us, the good news of Jesus living, the good news of Jesus sacrificing his life so that we can be with him. And when we recognize Jesus' statement that it was for this reason that he came, we can kind of look at that and say, okay, well, that's him. But that doesn't mean I have to like it. And then Jesus makes these bold statements such as, if anyone wants to be my disciple, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Now we hear that, and there's a part of us that understands the meaning, but there's a part of us that, well, when we think of cross, we view these, it's kind of hidden in the back corner here, we view these images that we put up in representation of Jesus. We view the jewelry that hangs from the chain on our neck that represents what Jesus did. But we don't really see it clearly as a means of death. Those that were listening to Jesus in the first century, when he said, take up your cross, it would have been a very offensive statement because he was saying, you will be executed. The cross was not a pleasant thing. It was not a piece of decoration. It was a tool the Romans used to execute the worst of criminals. It was a sign that that person deserved beyond all else to die. And Jesus says, if we want to be his disciple, we must choose that now is a time to die. And we identify with the sufferings of Christ when we take on his death so that we can rise and live a new life just as he did. And so this morning, as we consider the death of Jesus, we ask that question, what is the good news about a time to die? And I think the beginning point is, this time to die is a time to decide. We look at it and there are those that would say, well, Jesus had no choice. And if you read the scripture, if you read his prayers in the garden leading up to this, if you read his statements, he did have a choice. But it was his decision for the good, not of himself, but for the good of people. For the good of you and for the good of me. That he would willingly go to that cross and take on the sin of all mankind. But it was also a time for the people to decide. Luke chapter 23, beginning at verse 20, we read, the trial had been underway and there were accusations and Pilate and Herod had this back and forth thing and they were confused, if anything, as to what was really going on. And verse 20, it says, wanting to release Jesus, Pilate appealed to the crowd again, but they kept shouting, crucify him, crucify him. And for the third time, Pilate spoke to them, why? What crime has this man committed? I have found in him no grounds for the death penalty. Therefore, I will have him punished and then release him. But with loud shouts, they insistently demanded that he be crucified, and their shouts prevailed. So Pilate decided to grant their demand. He released the man who had been thrown into prison for insurrection and murder, the one that they had asked for. And they surrendered Jesus to their will. A time to decide is a time for us to recognize, what will we do with Jesus? Sometimes we intellectually know what we ought to do, but for whatever reason, we refuse. Pilate was one of those that had a decision before him of what will we do. He makes it clear that he knew that this man was not deserving of death. And yet his decision was to go along with the crowd. You see, the time for us to die is a time to decide that we follow what's true and right, regardless of what the crowd says. You see, this death that Jesus died was a death that was for his Father. It was for us. It was to fulfill all righteousness. When we live life, we come into Christ and we somehow think that everything will be great. And the enemy comes along and says, hey, why don't you come do this? And all of our friends and our acquaintances say, yeah, come join us. It's going to be great. And intellectually we say, well, but God's word says something different. I know that's not right. I know that that's not proper. But the crowds yell. And we think, well, I don't want the crowds mad at me. I don't want my friends mad at me. I don't want my coworkers mad at me. We sometimes refuse to decide that God's way is right all the time. As Jesus goes to the cross, there was a time of decision on his part that he will obey his Father. There was a time of decision on the part of Pilate and the crowds as to whether they would do the right thing or not, and they chose not to. There's a time of decision for you and for me. What will we do with Jesus? Will he be Lord and Master, or will he simply be someone to put aside because he's inconvenient? The crowds, many probably, were among those that just a week earlier had been yelling, Hosanna, who had been cheering for Jesus. And how fickle the crowds become in our own life. They can easily lead us astray, but they're not likely to stick with us when the decisions have been made that are wrong. This time to die is a time to decide that Jesus is the most important in my life no matter what. That he is who I will follow. That my allegiance, my obedience belongs to him above all else. When we take up our cross and follow him, it's a time to decide that self is not in charge anymore. It's a hard decision, but it is the decision that brings life. This time to die is not only a time to decide, it's also a time to invite. As we make that decision that Jesus is indeed Lord, as we make that decision that he's in charge of our life, then it's our responsibility to invite others to join in that. As we continue in Luke, we're going to jump down to verse 32. As they nailed Jesus to the cross, it says there two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. And when they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, well, he saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Christ of God, the chosen one. The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine, vinegar, and said, if you are king of the Jews, save yourself. You see, there was a written notice above him which read, this is the king of the Jews. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us. But the other criminal rebuked him. Don't you fear God, he said, since you are under the same sentence. We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve, but this man has done nothing wrong. And then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus answered him, I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise. as I consider this moment on the cross, the invitation of those who would mock was one of contempt. They were inviting Jesus to put an end to this. They were inviting Jesus to stop, to get off the cross. And the criminals, they were invited, the one especially was inviting Jesus to get them out of it. But this time to invite was not a time to invite away from the will of God. It was a time to invite into the will of God. And one of these that hung beside him chose that moment to invite himself. He is the one who brought up his need. And his invitation was to Jesus, inviting himself, just remember me. This time to die is a time to invite remembrance for those who are lost, for those who are broken. We sang a little bit ago about the brokenness that God puts together to make us one. It's possible because we're able to invite ourselves into that story because God has made it possible, but we're able to invite others. This time to invite, this time to die to self is a time to invite others to join us in that unity with Christ. It's not a time to claim any sense of superiority or any sense of pride that would put us above others. We're not here worshiping God together because we're better than anyone else. We're here worshiping God because we've been invited by the Son to draw into communion, draw into relationship, draw into His presence because of His action, not because of ours. And so when we begin to love people, when we begin to serve people, when we begin to care for people like Jesus does, we invite them to be a part of that family, a part of that fellowship. It's a part of our welcome home emphasis here at Deer Run, as we want it to be a place that feels like home, that's accepting of who you are in Christ and accepting of what God can transform us to be. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We all invite Jesus to clean us up and to make us right, to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And so when we go to our coworkers, when we go to our neighbors, when we go to our fellow students who are caught up in sin, it's not an invitation that we can do something about it. It's an invitation that Jesus can transform. It's an invitation to join us in this journey of discipleship, this journey of following Jesus, this journey of making Jesus Lord over our life. You see, God's desire is that the good news is that when we die to self, we are invited into the presence of God. Not by our works, but by the blood of Jesus, which cleanses us. It's that invitation that when this man on the cross turns to Jesus and invites himself in, Jesus turns back and says, "You will be with me." It's that desire to know Christ that we ought to have growing in our life in a way that it flows from us to all who are around us. This man knew that his life had not been right. He makes it clear that he deserved the death that he was getting. But he knew enough about Jesus to know that Jesus did not deserve it. And when we choose to suffer for doing what's right, for living for Christ, for representing Him, Do we do it in a manner that draws attention to ourselves? Do we do it in a manner that throws our own little pity party and expects some kind of sympathy from the world? Or do we do it in a manner that makes Jesus known? We do not see Jesus throwing a pity party and saying, "Why in the world is this all happening to me?" And he invites us to join him in that suffering so that we indeed can know the glory of the resurrection. When we become those seeds which are planted in the ground, we grow and we produce much fruit. God's desire is that we recognize the good news of this time to decide, this time to invite, is also a good news of a time to exclaim. We live, and our life as Christians ought to be lived as an exclamation mark. There are times when I write and people say I use that too much. But when I'm writing about the things of God, when I'm writing about the work that he has done in my life, when I'm writing about the work that I see him do throughout Scripture and throughout the people that I know and love, it's an exciting thing. And to recognize that this time to die to self is a time to exclaim the goodness of God. We jump down, continuing in Luke 23. Verse 44. It was now about the sixth hour. Darkness had come over the whole land until the ninth hour, for the sun had stopped shining. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two, and Jesus calls out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." When he had said this, he breathed his last. The centurion, seeing what had happened, praised God and said, "Surely this was a righteous man." When all the people who had gathered to witness this sight saw what took place, they beat their breast and they went away. But all those who knew him, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance, watching these things. This time to die is a time to exclaim to God that I trust you. I'm willing to die to self. I'm willing to quit putting myself in charge, and I'm going to trust that you have a better way for me and that your way is always good and right. There are so many times we read God's word and we think to ourselves, "I would do that if I knew it would work. I would do that if I knew it wouldn't cost me more than I want to pay. I would do that if, I would do that." But I'm not ready. I'm not sure. I'm not confident. When Jesus says that we must take up our cross daily and follow him, we think, "Well, I would do that if I only knew exactly what that meant. I would do that if I could define what that meant." But when we recognize this time to die is a time to exclaim, we exclaim that, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. I surrender myself. I put you in charge. Whatever you want, that's what's done." That was those final words of Jesus as he hung on the cross. "God, your will be done in all of this." That exclamation that it is finished. I have completed the work that my Father sent me to do. I've often told people that I want to live life in a way that when my final moments on earth end, that my relationship with God through Jesus Christ has brought me to the point that I hear clearly those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." It's a time to exclaim that life is done and eternal life continues. You see, Jesus made that exclamation at the end of his life, knowing that his life really wasn't done. That the resurrection was coming. But the work of his physical life on earth had been completed. And when our work on this physical earth is completed, it's a time to exclaim that God is still in charge. But it wasn't just Jesus that saw this time to die as a time to exclaim. It was those watching. And it makes me wonder, what do the people that watch us exclaim about us and about our life? As Jesus is crucified, as his life comes to an end there on the cross, the centurion, this Roman soldier who we view as this hardened man, a guy in charge of 100 soldiers, a guy that probably took nothing from anyone. He was in charge. Those under him knew it. When he notices what happens on the cross, he exclaims, "Surely this was a righteous man." Yeah. Do those watching us in this time that we die to self able to exclaim, "Surely that's a righteous person"? I've seen the way they've treated me. I've seen the way they've treated the oppressed. I've seen the way they've treated the poor. I've seen the way they've treated the rich. I've seen the way they've treated every person. We live life being watched, whether we like it or not. And people notice the way we treat the clerk at the store. They notice the way we treat the worker at the counter at McDonald's. They notice the way we treat our boss. They notice the way we treat our employees. They notice. And what do they exclaim about our life by what they see? The disciples stood at a distance. But those who were close, those who were near, those who you would least expect it from, exclaimed, "This was a righteous man." You see, the good news about a time to die, that it is a time for every one of us to enter into the death so that we can enter into the resurrection of Jesus. It's not about a time to die and be done. It's about a time to die so that we can live. Jesus' death was one that brought him to the point of resurrection. It's often been said, I mentioned this in Sunday school class as well, that it's very difficult to have good news unless you know the bad news. The good news makes no sense outside of the context of the bad news. If someone were to come to you today and you have no health issues at all, and they say, "You know what? We've done a checkup and everything's great." And you say, "Well, I knew that yesterday." But if last week they had come to you and said, "Your blood work are showing these things that are bad, and we think you have 6 months to live and everything's horrible," and you would be overwhelmed by the bad news. But if they would turn around and today say, "You know what? That was wrong. Everything's good." That good news would have great meaning, because it's like, wow. And the good news of the resurrection of Jesus has meaning because of his death. And the good news of our being able to be resurrected with Christ has meaning because we have been willing to die with Christ. And this time to die was not simply a time of physical death. It was a time of full surrender to his Father, just as our time to die is a full surrender to him as Lord. We come to a time of decision this morning, and that decision has to do with how will we see our time to die. And I'm not really talking about our physical death, although that plays into it. I'm talking about our willingness to die to self every day. And it is a daily thing, and for me at least, it's a multiple times daily thing, because self constantly wants to come back and take charge. And I constantly have to decide that self is not in charge, God is. And when I constantly decide that God is in charge, then I constantly invite His presence into my life. And it's that invitation. The Bible pictures Jesus as He says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone would open the door, I would come in. And I would be with them." And it's that dying to self that we open the door and we invite Jesus in. There's an old painting that's been around for generations that pictures Jesus at the door. And they say, if you look at that painting, the one thing that often gets unnoticed is there's no doorknob on the outside. That the only way that it does open is the one inside inviting Jesus in is willing to open it. And this time that we die to self, we decide that God's in charge, we invite Him to be a part of our life, and it prepares us to exclaim to the world that Jesus is indeed Lord. And so this time of decision is about, what will I do? What will I decide? What invitation will I issue? What will my life exclaim to those around me? If you're here this morning and you have never died to self, you have never surrendered to Jesus, the Bible says that those who are buried with Christ will surely rise with Christ. If you've never been immersed into Christ to have your sins forgiven, to receive the gift of His Spirit, I would love to talk with you about that. And in just a few moments, as we sing a song of decision, you are welcome to come and join me in the room over here to my left, and we can discuss that. We can pray together. But as I say each week, when we gather to worship God, we do so, the vast majority of us have surrendered to God. And we still surrender to God, and we keep surrendering to God. And we need Him. And we need to decide, will I not just do that once sometime in my history, but will I daily take up my cross? Will He be in charge tomorrow? Will He be in charge every day that I live? If you have a decision that you need to make, that you need someone to pray with you about in regard to Jesus being Lord, in regard to dying to self, in regard to what that might look like in your life throughout this next week, you also can come and join me in the room to my left, and we can pray together. But whatever decision God's Word has convicted you to make today, I pray that you make it, that you live it, that your life exclaims Jesus every day this week. And every day that He gives you breath, that the time to die to self is really good news, because Jesus then becomes Lord of all in your life. Would you stand as we sing?